The gospel text today is a very familiar gospel text, one that comes from the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16, in Jesus' name. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let us pray. Lord, today, lead us, guide us, and protect us today, Lord, as we look at your word. Lord, again today, I just pray that you will continue to use me only as a vessel. Lord, that as you will take and guard my mouth, Lord, that things will not be said wrong, that people will not misinterpret, but that your Spirit will see to it that they understand your word. As your Spirit descends upon us, prepare our hearts to receive your blessing. Prepare our minds to understand and prepare our ears to open up to your voice. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's really very interesting when you look at this portion of Scripture. It's one that is very familiar. It's one that gives us a commission by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I titled my message today, "The Mission to Evangelize." And you're going to say, okay, Pastor, it's your first day in the pulpit as our pastor, and you're going to take and tell us that we have to get out of the pew, and that's exactly what I'm here to do. I'm going to tell you that it is not completely my job to do it all. I want to share with you what you and I, together as a team, need to do. Of all of the gospel writers, Matthew had an ending to his gospel writings. It was an ending that really looked forward to the continuing work that Jesus had laid down those 3 years as he worked with his disciples. But it wasn't only relevant for the disciples of his day. It is relevant for you and I today. It gives us a mission plan to evangelize. It's telling us how and where we need to go. Before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ left this world, he gave his disciples, who were very bewildered, a commission. A commission that became global in nature. And so oftentimes we hear about this global evangelism going out throughout the world. Today we're going to talk about doing it at home, starting from within and working our way out. I think we can get that so confused, understanding of what happens. We miss the part of what it means to evangelize, starting at home and then working out from there. Jesus was concerned that his word and his work would continue. He wanted to make sure that his gospel continued forward when he left the world. So what does Jesus do? He entrusts his disciples to do just that. His disciples of that day have been passed it on. It is now our job to pass it on as his disciples, as his children. The mission was given to us individually. First of all, it's giving to us individually, and then corporately as a church. What are we to do as a church? But if we don't have it right, that we're doing it ourselves, and as Jonathan has shared with me, I'm going to put Jonathan on the spot here for just a second. He shared with me that we need a revival, but it's got to start here. It's got to start individually with each one of us. And it cannot grow. The fire cannot spread without that. This mission is one that is going to involve each and every person that is in this church today. We need to take it seriously because of the divine power that is there for missions. There is a divine plan for missions. And there is a divine promise for missions. First of all, let us look at the divine power for missions. The work of missions, it's not an easy task. It's hard work. No one can do it in his own power. It takes the power of God within us for anyone to survive in the mission field. Where is your mission field? Where has God called you to be a missionary? As a church, your mission is right here in your own backyard. There's people that live around this church. Have they been invited to worship with you? Have you been praying that God would use you and give you the power to make a difference in your mission field? All of us are called into the mission field. All of us are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's going to provide you with the confidence. God's going to provide you with the authority to enter into that mission field. Just remember, this is God's command. For you to do what you're to do. It's not your command. It's not your pastor's command. This is God's command for each and every one of us. God's power, God's presence, and God's authority is given to each and every one of his children. And through that, we get the courage and we get the right to go from place to place sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. If we do not have his power, if we do not have his command to share the gospel, our efforts to win someone to Jesus Christ is going to be futile. It's going to be a failure. You're going to fall flat on your face. We need God's power within us. We have to go out in the name of Jesus Christ. We cannot go out in our own name. Jesus knew that his disciples could not function without him. Did you know that you and I cannot function without Jesus Christ? As a church, we cannot function without Jesus Christ as being the center. Jesus knew that his disciples needed him. He was going to be leaving them physically. He believed that they needed power from above to bear fruit. And that's what God's word tells us, that we need that power from above to be able, as Christians, to bear fruit. There are three things we need to know about this divine power for missions that were mentioned in this gospel. First, when you and I become frustrated, when you and I become powerless, and when you and I begin to doubt, the power of God provides comfort. What a reminder for us. God's word, God's love will give us comfort. It will help us when we become frustrated. It will help us when it seems like everything is going wrong. It's very easy to find comfort when someone offers us comfort when we've lost a loved one, when we're mourning. We sometimes forget that when there are other things going on in our lives, we need to go to Christ for comfort for that as well. Jesus noted that some of his disciples were doubting him. Our text said they saw him and worshiped him, and yet some of them doubted. But what did they do? They saw him and they worshiped him. Do you worship Christ every time you see him? Do you worship him only on Sunday morning when you come into this building? Or do you worship him every day when you come to him in prayer? When you come before that throne and very quietly listen to his voice, are you worshiping him? My prayer is that you are. We need to worship him. Christ saw sadness. He saw pain in his disciples' faces. He knew that they were feeling something because he was leaving them. And there's no time like the present for him to comfort his disciples. This comfort came from the power of God. That power and that comfort is there for you and I today. When you have doubts, when you become discouraged about the mission field that you've been called to serve, I want you to rely upon the power of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 29, verse 25, tells us that the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Another translation ends that verse with is that the Lord will keep him safe. Are you ready to trust that he will take care of you in the mission field that you are called to? Second is the power that is given for this mission. It's an absolute divine power. It's not a human power. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Take note of the word, all authority. Not just some of it, but God gave all authority to Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ, because he's been given the authority. The power of the promise came from old. It was given to Jesus Christ. This promise came written back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all of the people, nations, and men of every tongue and might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. That was written hundreds of years before Christ came to this earth to live. Thirdly, this power confirms the universal nature of the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus has all the authority in heaven and under heaven, here on earth. It's all been given to him. And Jesus says, it's been given to me. Jesus claims it. The very power of Jesus Christ is the power that we need to do the work of the missions. Did you realize that the mission field in this country is sin-tainted? It is demon-infested. In this very world that we live in. And you might say, but Pastor, this is Roseau, Minnesota. We don't have those things. Open your eyes. Because it's happening here as it is across our country. There is sin everywhere. There are demons everywhere. Who are the demons going to be going up against most often? They're going to go up against those who take and rely on Jesus Christ the most. Because he doesn't have to go after those who've already are serving him. He's going to go after the Christian people. He's going to go after the pastors that are proclaiming the Word of God in its truth and its purity. Those demons are out there. They do not want us to have a mission field. They do not want us to be proclaiming his name. If you've ever been afraid because of the mission field that you've been called to do, I want you to rely upon the power of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was sent at Pentecost. That power resides in every believer today. That power is there. Are you using that power? Are you getting that power out of the box, so to speak? Sometimes we end up and we take and push it down and say, and don't want to take and deal with it. Why? Because we're so scared that God's going to call us out and ask us to share his wonderful message with somebody that we're going to meet today. That Holy Spirit's going to go with you. He's going to take you. He's going to give you the boldness that you need. I cannot preach in God's boldness without the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot evangelize without fear unless we have that Holy Spirit working within us. The disciples were told not to leave Jerusalem until they had received that gift from on high. The authority of Jesus Christ is based, is the basis for this commission. It's given to all Christian believers. If you are a child of God's, this commission is for you. This commission has already been given to you. What are you doing with it? The word that is translated from the Greek is daimos. Daimos is the English translated into dynamite. In other words, what I'm saying here is that Jesus is giving you an explosive power. He's giving you a power of dynamite. Are you ready for that power? Are you using that power? A power that supersedes all the powers of this world. A power that is not under the subject of any king or any kingdom here on earth. This power is not a power that can be controlled by the demonic forces of this world. A power that is wrought by the Holy Spirit of God. Take note of three things about the instructions that are given by our Lord. First of all, he says that this commission contains a promise. The second thing is that it identifies the power of our witnessing in the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, it enables us to know the purpose of the Holy Spirit. In all of this, the commission, it tells us of what places we are to evangelize. First, we are to evangelize locally, then nationally, and then internationally. It's so easy to want to send missionaries out into the world. But what we need to do is come back. We need to do it locally. We need to do it here at home first. Having assured his disciples of this power for the task that they were going to have, Christ gave them a mandate that they were to be able to carry this out. He gave them a task. But you know what? That tells me something about God today. Before he gives you or I a task to do, he's going to equip us. He's going to give us everything we need for the responsibility that he's going to ask you to do. What is he going to ask you to do? What has he asked you to do? He's going to give you what you need. The divine plan for missions. Let's look at that. We are to go forth. We're to make disciples, God's word tells us. This is what Jesus Christ wants you and I to do. He wants us to win people to him. We are to be trained up for the next generation of disciples. How did God do that? God did that with his first disciples. They trained. Now it is your job to be training the next generation of disciples. Are you training them? God mandates that we go out immediately into the mission fields. Go is the command that he gives. Why? Why is it that we have not been reaching our neighbors? Why haven't you and I been going out? You have been invited to go out. And you've been encouraging to tell people that you've got a new pastor coming. You've been willing to tell people that you've got a new pastor coming to come to church. But have you told someone lately that Jesus Christ is coming back again? Have you told them that he's going to receive his own unto himself? Or is that harder to tell than to tell somebody that you got a new pastor coming? A missionary is someone who is sent out with a message. That message is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. He's to preach it to those who are lost. There are people that are around us that are lost. Jesus sent his disciples into the world to be someone that Jesus Christ sends out means that we have to get out of our comfort zone. Oh, and that always hurts when you talk about doing that. I want to stay in my comfort zone so I don't have to, you know, feel like there's something going on. But it must be noted that every mission-minded church must be a sending and a going church. As a church, you cannot become a standstill church. You either are moving forward or you're going backwards. If a church is not reaching out to those who have not heard the gospel message, to those who are lost, it's just like a restaurant who takes and gets all this food prepared and then won't feed those who come that are hungry. There are people that are hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as a church, we need to get busy. We need to be reaching out. After Christ told his disciples to go, he gave them three instructions. First of all, he said, make disciples of all nations. In other words, missions are to be global. But we as Christians are to nurture the people that we bring into the fold. Okay? In other words, when we make contact with these people and they accept Jesus Christ, what we need to do is to make and teach them what discipleship is really about. A disciple is someone who is a learner. To lead someone to Christ, we must witness to them and then lead them in the sinner's prayer. And you're going to say, but Pastor, I don't know how to witness. Well, start by living for Jesus Christ, and your life will be a witness. And then pretty soon, you begin to pray, God, give me the boldness and give me the words, and that's when it all begins to happen. We're to share not only with our family, but we're to share with those that live around us. We are then to continue to reach out further and further. It was interesting that we were told that there was a mission field around the parsonage here in Roseau. As we have already known some of the young people that live in the house next door to us, because they were in release time in Badger for a time when they were in the Badger School District. And so, yes, we are reaching out. We have said hi. We have visited just briefly, but at least we've gotten started. They know we're there. But where's God going to lead us? What's going to happen with the mission field? I do not know. But I'm ready. I want to see what God has. We need to share that gospel truth. It needs to be preached to all people. And it needs to be done before the end of the world can come for everyone to have heard the gospel message. Secondly, we are commissioned to incorporate the new converts into the kingdom of God. We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. An invitation into the kingdom of God. Administered under the authority of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The third command is for a mature Christian to go forth and witness to the lost. We must have a follow-up for these new Christians. We must continue to nurture them. We must, as Christians, feed them the Word of God. We must teach them how to observe the teachings of Jesus Christ. For others to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we must impart the knowledge of who He is, and that is that He is the Son of God. As Christians, you and I are mandated by Christ to hand down His teachings to our children and to our grandchildren. Jesus wants you and I to go into the world to evangelize the people, and we are to help them grow in that knowledge of who He is. The promise for missions is that the disciples needed further comfort. Jesus reassures His disciples that He will be a continued presence in their lives even after He leaves this world. The disciples, and that includes us today, need His presence in our lives. Jesus is Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us. He became flesh, and He dwelt among us. The promise of always being with us is a global promise. It doesn't matter where you and I go. This promise is not just for us here today, but it's for wherever you and I go in the future. There's a need for missions out there. We must remember that Christ is always with us as we go. The promise of being with us is good until the end of the age. This should be a big encouragement to all Christian people. As we minister locally, as we reach out to those, remember that Jesus is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Today, God is calling each and every one of you into missions. Each and every one of you are being called to evangelize those around you. The harvest fields are ripe unto harvest, but the laborers are few. So will you answer God's call today to go to the mission fields? Are you ready to say, "Here am I, send me"? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go where He sends? Our mandate is very urgent because many people are dying in their sins. Just this past week, I conducted 2 funerals. Death is all around us. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. There was a funeral in town for a young lady that was 31 years old. My oldest daughter happens to be 31, so it hit home. And then I conducted a funeral on Thursday for a lady that was 95. There's no guarantee that we're going to have tomorrow. We have today. Today is the day of salvation. Death is all around us. But God gives you and I the power to evangelize our friends, our families, our neighbors. The mission field is there before you. Remember, and I want each and every one of you to remember this, that to whom much is given, much will be required. May God find you and I faithful when He comes again. That's my hope and my prayer for each and every one of you, that God will find you faithful because you have taken the challenge. You have reached out to the mission field around you. Amen. Lord, again today, I just thank you. Thank you for the wonder of your word. Thank you for the wonder of the challenge that you've given us. Lord, may we take it. May we do something with it. May we not just set it on the back burner, but that we truly will know, Lord, that you are Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen. Before the communion service today, let's take our hymnal. Let's turn to hymn 285. Let us break bread together.